That's aggressive.
All right, let's call this meeting to order. This is the City of Onalaska Planning Commission and Plating Board. This is a regular meeting, Thursday, June 15th, 2023, 6:03 p.m. Can I get a roll call?
Please.
Williams? Are you here?
Yeah.
Okay. Swangle?
Here.
Marquez is absent. Bagley is absent. And Hatfield?
Here.
Great. You have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Okay, we have the agenda here in front of us. Is there any additions?
I have one revision to the agenda for you. The conflict of interest training is going to be removed for tonight. We're going to try and organize a little bit more comprehensive of a training for you guys as planning commissioners, just as a whole. And we're going to have to look at people's availability and when you guys are all together in town. So rather than have it and only a couple of you get it, we'll get everybody all at once.
Is this going to be with the attorney on the phone or?
So that will either be with the attorney or that will be with a representative from the state. We're still working out how that'll work. It might be somebody from the Rasmussen Foundation because we had a board training individual out here.
Has there been any discussion or is the that planning workshop training, that yearly thing they used to do in Anchorage, is it still happening or are we do that anymore?
So the planning conferences here is in August in Anchorage. So we're not sure if we're really going to have the budget to take really any of us, let alone one of the planning commissioners with us this year. However, if it's hybrid again, like it was online last year, we'll certainly try to work that out for you guys.
If I may, when in August is that? Do you know? Early or late?
I can get that for you. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Okay. Hearing none. If there's no disagreement with the agenda, we'll consider it accepted. with the one item removed for tonight. Okay, appearance request. We have applicant with us this evening. Other than that, I don't think there's anybody on the phone or in the building with us. Any announcements for tonight, Thomas?
None that I can think of, no.
Okay, do you guys got anything? Anything new, exciting going on? Okay.
I get to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, 23rd,
12:30,
for the tribal leaders' conferences.
Nice. Probably pretty warm down there.
Are you? I had to buy dresses. You know me. I don't wear that kind of crap.
Okay. All right. We have the minutes included in the packet. Is there any objections or corrections or anything on the minutes there? Okay. Hearing none, we'll consider the minutes of the May 18, 2023 meeting and June 1st, 2023 meeting. There's both of them in there, if you guys had a chance. Okay. Okay. All right. Hearing no corrections, we'll consider the minutes accepted for those two meetings. Item number one under public hearing, resolution 2023-02. Resolution approving a final plat of Parkside Estates, part 2A, resubdivision of track D, Parkside Estates subdivision. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak up on this item. I don't believe we have anybody to speak on this item, so we're just going to move right along and jump into old business. And the one item there again is resolution 2023-02, a resolution approving a final plat of Parkside Estates, part 2, a resubdivision of track D, Parkside Estates subdivision. Can I get a Motion
I move to approve resolution 2023-02.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Staff, or I should say Thomas, what do you got?
Okay, so in your packet you'll see, and it might be a little bit more intensive than usual. The notes from the February meeting are there so that this is a follow-up. You can see all of the progress that has been made. Effectively, coming to the June, this current meeting. Upon review, the water plan was found acceptable. The street plan was found acceptable. A small edit was made to the wastewater plan, and that was amended in the DEC filing. So you have that page that was amended in your packet. And then, so that's water, sewer, electric is the remainder. As of the last couple of weeks, we've been going back and forth on the electric because some of the install is not as planned. And the conduit is in the right-of-way based on what the Optumera line crew says. So despite this, we still recommend approval of the packet and of the plat, because without approval today, the plat dies and it goes back to preliminary again. So we don't want that to happen for a small technicality. Additionally, there is a issue with the closure report for the plat that was cleaned up. So you'll see in that packet, you'll have the first page of the closure report as an example. I wasn't going to include all 36 pages in the packet for you guys. But the appropriate corrections are going to be needing to be made on the final plat in order to make up for that. And you'll see those corrections showing up on page 17. It's this, the picture of the plat that has the small red boxes in the locations where corrections need to be made. So, for example, here between lot 2 and 3, on the tail end side of lot 3, and there was another one on lot 12. So once those corrections are made, the plat diagram itself will be all correct and accurate for recording. So let me get back up to my notes there. Additionally, a fiber optic conduit was laid in the road as well. We don't have a plan. We do have a plan for that now. We will need that to also be verified, and that will be added to GCI's permitting. That will be separate from this platting process. So, because of the electric plan having the issues that it does, based on what we're looking at, we have an email from our electric department, or sorry, our utilities chief. And I'm gonna scroll through. I need to learn how to bookmark pages. Sorry, so here on page 23, yep, you can see the variations. Everything in the yellow is built as planned. And then in the pink, these are the utilities that are inside of the road. And you'll see that, you know, there's a couple of crossings here that were in a, that were supposed to be there. But then the remainder of those pink lines are were supposed to have been in the right of way. Or, sorry, we're supposed to have been in the easement there. So you have an email here from Steve Tompkins that indicates that roughly 50% of the electrical conduit was installed in the right of way instead of the utility easement per the plan and the development agreement. We've all come to a consensus that while we will not necessarily require the conduit to be dug up and relocated, updated drawings will be required to match the install locations. There is a forfeit of the electrical service extension reimbursement, and that the one requirement that we will have is once the road and drainage easements and roadbed are all completed, it's going to have to reflect the appropriate grades and depths for the electric conduit to be able to be safely installed according to the plan. So that is where the bond requirement comes from. You'll be able to get up and.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, let's get him started with the presentation, then we'll be.
So, and you can see in the previous page, it was 22, the appropriate trenching and depths and everything for the electrical, 48 inches minimum from the existing gravel compaction from the top of the road. Again, if these things are all, and then, also additionally 36 inches from where the outside of the right-of-way. So that's where our city concerns are, and that's why the requirement for the bond is part of the resolution. As far as the bond goes, we don't think that that's a very undue requirement on the contractor, because the city is going to have to accept that as a city utility. So that would effectively put the city on the hook for making the adjustments later. And then finally, ultimately for every lot, we're looking at maybe a $300 additional cost to pass on to the lot, to the people who purchase those lots, based on, I did a little bit of research, average cost of a bond for approximately $200,000, which should cover everything and more. Again, I'm making rough estimates, would be about 10%, 10 to 15%. And then you split that up across the 23 lots. So this isn't really a major expense, and it's an expense that could be passed on to the property purchasers later on. Once the final plat is approved, it can be, and once there's a proof of that bond, the city will be able to sign off on it. That final approval is valid for 1 year. So if, for whatever reason, we have some kind of issues getting that bond, or, the work is able to be done, and, it's decided that the contractor would rather just do the work instead of acquiring the bond, we can still flex around a little bit with that. However, that puts us again into another situation where the plat has the potential to expire, and we would have to potentially extend it again. So now we're 2 years out, possibly. So that doesn't work for really anybody. That's a detriment to the city. We need the housing. That's a detriment to the property owner. That's taxes on lots that he is not recovering any value from. So we're trying to move this along as best as we can. And then the final condition, which is standard for all platting, electronic versions of the plat should be provided to the Department of Planning at the time of the Mylar plat submittal, allowing for incorporation into the CAD and GIS. So based on all of those changes, and again, to move this along, it is recommended that Resolution 2023-02 is approved with conditions.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. Fellow commissioners here, have you guys got some questions? No? Okay. Just wanted to clarify some stuff here. So the error of closure sketch, the numbers in the red boxes, those are just measurements of the lot line. Is that all that is?
That's correct.
Okay. So they were just missing, or it looks like one of them maybe was miswrote or something?
So if you're looking at, page 15, that is your large copy of your plat.
Yeah.
You see lot 12 is 217 feet. And then lot 2 is 130 feet, and then on the back of lot 3, it's 160. And then you go down to the closure report and the corrections, you'll see it's supposed to be 214, and then on the other side, 123 and 159.
Okay, so that's really simple stuff, yeah.
Ultimately, they're small errors, but they're enough that if somebody goes to buy the lot, there's going to be a variance that's outside of what's acceptable for a plat.
Right. Okay, thank you. This other thing, I was just curious. I've never seen one of these before. What this error of closure calculation, then, is that kind of what you're getting to, is overall numbers? Like,
correct.
It adds up to within a margin of error?
Yes, there's a set margin of error within code for certain types of platting. Depending on the size of the property, the size of, like, the plat area, you're allowed. And it's based on the, I'm trying to remember the official name of them, but the Society for Surveyors Standards or whatever they have. The professional organization that certifies surveyors has a set of standards for closure, and that should come within 0.0000 something of, you know, an inch accuracy.
Perfect.
So
that's good to know. Okay, I got some other questions here, and so just curious what it says a developer will forfeit any electrical service extension reimbursement at the conclusion of the project. What are we talking about? What kind of numbers? I mean, is it, you know?
The number I've heard from our public works department was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $1,700-$1,800.
Oh,
based on the council meeting that was, I think, in January or March, somewhere in that range.
Okay. And then the bond, you just gave a percentage number, but what kind of bond number is expected of the applicant? Is there a number on there?
So based on,
you said 200,000, or you said somewhere up to, or
I was doing rough math on a $200,000 bond. I'll pull it up right now. Give me one second. I have the estimate for the electric from EPS, and I think it was around 130. But if you'll give me one second, I'll pull that up and get an exact number. Oh, wrong button. Okay. Sorry. So let's see. I have the estimate here is actually for conduit and trench is $67,587. Like I said, I was kind of going off of a rough number in my head that, you know, I thought I had remembered seeing. I think I saw this 14,000 and thought it was 140,000. So, okay. Again, we're talking roughly $150 a lot.
Okay. And one more question here. Just trying to wrap my head around this a little bit more. So it says on the letter from Steve Tompkins, says if the one requirement that may require conduit to be relocated in the utility easements is if any of the portions installed in the right-of-way are found to be in the drainage easement after the roadbed is graded per the development plan. Any portions found in the drainage easement will have to be relocated. So the drainage easement is like on the edge of the road right-of-way, and why would it have to be? Are you guys going to dig down that deep, or? I'm just trying to understand.
So I'm pulling up the road for you. So as you can see here, there's the roadway, the center line, and you've got space in between the roots, the actual road lines, and the property lines, and then there's the utility easement in there. So in this plan here, you can actually see that drainage easement. So it's 6 foot wide by a foot deep. And then there's additional grading contours as appropriate. So, right now, the line does, to a degree, travel underneath those proposed drainage plant areas that are along the side of the road. So, we would have to ensure that it falls deep enough underneath where the bottom of that drainage starts. And that's the, where's the electrical? As I pull up the drawing there. So that's where that 36-inch to 48-inch minimum is. So one is for the existing, is for the gravel, and this one is for underneath the earth.
Gotcha. And so it, would that bond cover, is that part of that to relocate that possibly, or...
Yes, that'll basically cover in case
you need to.
It needs to be moved. And again, that is if the property owner decides he wants to start selling the lots and people come to, you know, and pass over the electric to the city. If the city accepts it as is right now, that'll cover in case the city needs to go in and make changes.
Okay. And just one final thing is just, I see that it says by the 17th. We're talking, so in 2 days, does it say July? Does it say June? June 17th. So is that correct? They've got 2 days to be...
Right, so effectively, let me scroll back up to my note there. Having done the, you know, the math on the date that they signed their plat, the preliminary as approved was June 17th of last year. Right. So it was approved of June 17th last year. So that would mean Monday the 19th, realistically, at the start of, you know, business or whatever would be the effective end of that plat. So this is where we come into, you know, we're going to be flexible here. If they choose not to get a bond, then all of the construction needs to be appropriate as of or by June 17th. That's the requirements that I have to work within.
Okay. Glenn, do you want to come up? I'm sure you got questions as well, but if you got something you want to tell us, you can come up to the mic and...
If you hit the button on the center there, you'll get a red light, and then you can talk. It'll be on record.
Okay. Yeah, today I met with Bob Cummings out in the field, and I explained to him, as I did with Steve before, we had a pre-construction meeting at the city chambers. Scott was there. He designed the plans and then sent them to EPS. Bob was there, Steve was there, and Mark, the engineer. And it came up, they asked what route we were going to take, because you can put it in the right-of-way or in the easement. And I showed them what we were going to do. I said, we're going to go down right in front of the property lines, and we're going to put the gear, in, like anywhere else in town, in the easement, and then go back out in the right-of-way, and, you know, just like you see along the highway here. Because most of all the electrical here is under the sidewalk or something. And Bob, like, yeah, I kind of remember something about it. I'll back up a minute. If I put it in the right-of-way or in the easement in front of the sewers that haven't been extended to the houses and the waters, then I'd have every lot, 30 times, I'd have to cross all this big water of electrical, fiber optics. And so I explained it to Steve on the phone. He goes, yeah, it's a no-brainer where you guys went. I'm like, okay. And so we continued on, and I was out of town, and I guess I don't know what happened when I was out of town, but they came out and stopped the job until this got resolved. And so I came up and saw Bill, and we were supposed to have a meeting. I never had a meeting with him. Nobody called a meeting. And so finally we waited 5-6 days, maybe a week, and then we were able to go back to work. And so we're still just finishing stuff up. And so that put us behind at least a week. And everything's out of the ditch line. There's no, it's a 50-foot right-of-way. So it's 25 foot from each property corner is the center, and then the road's 12 foot. And then the ditch is 3 foot from there. So nothing's in the ditch line. It's right in front of the property lines. And that'll be verified. And Bob, I walked the road with Bob and showed him where the ditch line was. And once you get out there and actually look, the road looks really wide right now, but it gets narrowed. The driving path gets narrowed up by, you know, 10 feet on either side. So anyway, we just, in fact, I had this in my pocket because I was going to go see Bob. This is a preliminary electrical plan. And I didn't bring this up here to talk to you. I just happened to have it today. Which shows, I'll give it to Thomas. I have a clear one. This was in our Parkside folder. And where it shows it's going in the right-of-way, and then the gear goes in the easement. Anyway, it shows us going in the right-of-way and the gear going in the easement. And Bob was like, oh, where'd this come from? I'm like, this is a preliminary electrical plan. And so that's what we did. And actually, when we did this, we were working with the city. City line crew put the conduit in. And that's what they've always done here in town. The easement that we gave, I figured, was for future development. I mean, if something happens, the road's paved, then they have a way to get in there. Or if, like, Tel Alaska never put anything in there, they'll be able to get in the easement. If I took up that whole easement with electrical and fiber, and in the future, it's kind of, it's hard to get it in into the easement. And it's just not an electrical easement either. It's a utility easement, so any water, sewer, or something in the future needs to get in there. That's what I thought the easement was originally for.
Could you imagine if they did that around the whole community years ago?
I put them all in the easement.
Well, yeah, like left a spot. Yeah. How do you feel about just the stipulations that have been put forth?
I don't think it's, in fact, I don't have everything here. If I knew we were going to talk about it, I would have brought it. But there's a note, and Thomas might have it, but in the electrical drawings that says any line extensions can be in the right-of-way or the easement, any mainline extensions. And so they drew it in the easement, but we moved it to the right-of-way.
Yeah, no, I
so I don't think we should be penalized for doing what's practiced here forever.
Well, I'm looking at this, and this looks like it's basically, this looks like where you guys routed it, right? I mean, because it looks to me like on this, on the southern portion of the Parkside Drive, you guys routed it out in front, like what it shows here.
Yeah,
I could look. Yeah, I mean, it looks like the drawing that's the hand drawn in line. Page, what was that, 23?
Yeah.
It looks like this, doesn't it? It looks to me exactly like, yeah.
You know, we just put the gear in the easements and then went back out.
Right. Makes sense to me.
But, yeah, I don't think we should be penalized.
Commissioners, do you got any questions, commissioners?
Yeah, what do you mean by penalized? Do you mean the surety check, or
passing? You know, I don't know what they were taking away from each lot. It seems like it was at one meeting that they were given $14,000 per lot for a while, and then the city council went down to $1,400 a lot. They said it was a typo, and so I think it's $1,400 a lot that Steve said he wasn't going to give us.
So
then, we'll go to the purchaser.
Right, and that was the reimbursement.
Right. which originally when we started this was $14,000 a lot until January.
Hmm. Obviously, that would have been a significant difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, considering where we've came from, I mean, this is a lot better than where we were previously. And so obviously, you know, I'm excited to see you complete this project and get this done. And I don't feel that what they've asking for is unreasonable. I can understand your grief with where you're coming from, but I don't feel that it's terrible considering where we were previously. I think this is getting closer for sure. I don't think I'm not going to have any problems voting this up tonight, but just wanted to make sure that I understood the things that were being asked of the extra and what that meant dollar value. I mean, to you, it's like you said, better than the last bond. What was it, $3 million or something? So anyway, do you commissioners, you got any questions, comments?
No, I'm also like Travis, happy to see this getting closer to being done, and happy to approve it. Hopefully it's agreeable.
I know Bob left today on the plane, but he said to follow up our conversation with Mark on Monday. Me, myself, and Bob had, because he didn't realize about our meeting, and everybody else remembers it. But so I think the electrical, if I had to do it again, I'm putting it in the same place. And so would the city linemen that were doing it.
I think as long as everyone's on the same page, so it doesn't create a conflict, you know.
But I mean, as far as I don't know if I can get our meetings and get this situated next week. I mean, pass it tonight, please. But I don't want to. If I can get out, get in a bond, and you know.
What, I'm sorry, Thomas. You were going to say something previously.
So I just wanted to clarify. I mean, I understand the original preliminary that you gave us. I have, you know, what's here in the packet is what was submitted as the plan for the primary and extension lines, which were, you know, designed to be in the right of in the easement there with the one crossing over the right of way. So that's where our issue really kind of stems. And as far as the city goes, when we go to accept that plat, and those utilities, we need to have appropriate corrected plans, and we need to make sure that everything is constructed appropriately. You know, again, I haven't talked to Bob today, so I don't know what, you know, aside from your conversation with him, I haven't heard anything since several weeks now. So at this point, you know, this is why this is written the way that it is. Certainly we can, you know, work around what those requirements are going forward based on what's out there. But the idea is that the city has, and again, this is, you're the developer, you know, I expect you to go follow through on your plan so that you can turn around and be able to sell your lots. But the city does need to have, you know, some kind of recourse and teeth in order to be able to enforce, you know, construction or to take over the construction ourselves, which we would probably turn around and call you to come out and dig the trench and move everything again. You know, this is just the way this process kind of works. And it's not, again, this isn't saying we don't trust you to do the work or anything. This is just a matter of, in order for the city to be able to legally take responsibility for those utilities, we need to have that sorted out ahead of time. So that's really why the bond is still in there. And again, that's a cost you can definitely pass on through to your customers who purchase those lots later on, so that you can recover what you purchased that bond for. So we can definitely have those negotiations as to what it'll cover and everything. And once we have somebody who goes out there and actually measures depths and measures locations and everything. We get this all squared away. That's the only reason why we have that in there. We need to make sure that it gets all squared away properly. And again, it's not a reflection on you as the developer. It's the situation that we're kind of in. Because when it was installed by the lineman, it wasn't installed based on the plan as it is on the screen, because that's what was submitted. So really all that is there so we can square that away. So that's definitely something we'll be able to work with you guys and with our linemen and or Optimera's linemen, however that whole thing works. Planning Commission can approve that, and you'll be able to, you know, move forward.
Yeah. Ginny, go ahead.
If I understand that correctly, we can approve this here, and then you can negotiate, the staff and Glenn can negotiate
that. Correct. Yeah, that's why there's no, like, actual dollar value inside that required, because we're not exactly sure what it is. We don't know, you know, what that work looks like just yet. I don't have a consistent anything from anybody.
So I appreciate you coming in, Glenn. Yeah. All right. Commissioners, any more comments, questions? Okay. I'm, like I mentioned already, I'm excited to see this project come to fruition and, see people maybe buy some lots and start putting some houses in, grow some grass. But, I really hope that you guys are able to figure this out and move forward. So, anyway, with that being said, all in favor of approving resolution 2023-02, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. With that, resolution passes. And we have we got through all of our items. We removed that last item already. So with that, we'll consider this meeting adjourned. It's 6:39 p.m. Thank you, guys.